In this address this evening are with the singing of hymn number 462. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. 462. Gospel of John, chapter 17. The Gospel of John, chapter 17. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Thus far the reading of God's most holy word. May he add his blessing and give us the spirit of real prayer. O most holy, sovereign, almighty God of heaven, Heavenly Father, hallowed is thy name. Holy and reverent art thou, O God in heaven. O holy art thou in all thy ways, an infinitely just God and pure, a glorious God, eternal in ages, knowing no time, and yet ever so gracious and merciful. O thou God of love, we would bow before thee tonight with these young people, Lord, to beg thee for thy presence and for thy blessing in our souls. Oh, that thou would condescend in mercy to remember us. For, Lord, all that we can come tonight again is to plead, O God, be merciful unto us as sinners. Oh, no other confession we bring, Lord, about our sinfulness and wretchedness. Oh, we feel to be such poor ones and wretched creatures. But we come unto thee, Lord God, in whom there is an immeasurable, infiniteness in all that thou art. Immeasurable art thou and incomprehensible. O thou great God, greatly to be praised, and thy greatness is unsearchable. O Lord, so we bow before thee. Remember us, Lord, in our poverty, and bless us with that rich outpouring of thy blessed Spirit. Lord, we beg thee, O give us of thy Spirit, in speaking tonight and in hearing together, that the word may enter into our souls with power. Oh, that there may be that fruit falling, the broken and the contrite heart, an uplifted eye unto heaven, a soul seeking that refuge in Jesus Christ. Oh, the praise upon the lips of a one that is comforted in heart. And so, Lord God, thou shalt have all the praise. Lord, we set before thee these young ones, oh, that they might become the pillars of the church in the generation following. And we pray, Lord, that thou might remember each one in the paths of life that they walk in, that thou would touch their hearts and stir them, that thou would draw them unto the feet of Jesus Christ. O Almighty God, with thy power, that thou would break the rocks and the hardened heart, and that thou would grant unto the blind and unto the dead life. Bring, Lord, souls unto Jesus Christ. O that there might yet be a church in the time to come. Oh, how we fear, Lord, the judgment coming, oh, the solemnness of our day, the dark times we live in. And yet thou art God, thou art Almighty, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thy mercy, O Lord God, knows no end. From the beginning of time to the never-ending eternity, thou art that merciful God. And so, Lord, remember them. Remember us all together. Oh, that we may bless thee and praise thee to the generation to come. How great thou art in thy mercy and tender kindness. And how worthy, O Lord God, thou art to be served and to be praised. To bow down before thy presence. To wrestle for thy presence and the pouring in of that precious love of thine. Lord, do grant it hungering and thirst in their hearts after thy precious word. Turning inward to beg thee, Lord, to apply that word to the soul. A balm for the wounds. Heal, Lord, and prove thyself that gracious God here, that we may hear in the time to come of the goodness, thy goodness and mercy amongst them. Remember them in their families. Remember them in all their needs. O Lord, to guide them and lead them unto thyself, that they may be blessed and comforted. And so, Lord, remember us tonight as we gather with these young ones. Favor us, Lord, with thy presence. Apply the word. To give us the word, the unction of the Spirit, and so we shall bless thee and praise thee. Lord, do forgive all that is amiss. Guide us and lead us unto that precious Savior of sinners. Open up eyes, Lord, to see thy beauty, a sacred Savior, that loving husband. And so, Lord, they might go on their ways. Oh, that they may be able to seek Jesus, to find Jesus, and to praise Jesus. And that they too, at thy own appointed time, in thy own way, may sing the songs of rejoicing. Lord, in the topic that we hope to speak of, oh, the world, that thou, Lord, might draw them out, and that thou, Lord, might favor them, and that they might be a people separated and sanctified for thy use and for thy good. O Lord, without thee we can do nothing. The world lies within us with such power. But Lord, to perform that wonder and mercy, hear us then, Lord, for thy great name's sake and thy mercy's sake, we plead the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's good to see each one of you here this evening, dear friends, and I did feel it upon my spirit to speak in a sense of the word world, of the power of the world, and of all that many of the things that we face in this world. We, of course, live in it. We are faced with so many trials as we enter into our own peculiar pathways and the circumstances of life that we are faced with. I know that the Lord may be pleased even now to impress upon your hearts and mind what it is to live in the world and yet not of the world. For being born in this world and of necessity having those needs that must be answered, we must indeed work in this world and be occupied so many times in decisions in this world. But what danger lies in it? What solemn dangers are in this world that we are faced with day to day? And how Satan is so subtle in his ways in which he would set before our feet the traps of this world. It truly is a place in which we must live, but what a snare it can become to our feet. What passions there are in the world that satisfy our passions. And here I want to emphasize one thing. Oh, we may be of a very sound denomination and believe in very sound sacred doctrines of the Word of God. But the world, except the Lord, in His mercy arrest us and draw us out of it. Separate us from it. Oh, how its passions and pleasures draw us. And we would say in an unregenerate state, Satan doesn't have to try very hard. Satan doesn't have to try very hard to set these snares before our feet, for they are passions that are dear to us. Whence comest thou, was the question asked of Satan. Was it not with the time of Job, from going to and fro through the whole of the earth, that roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour? And what easy prey an unconverted person is to the snares and to the traps that Satan will set for us. One of our hymn writers said he was a madman, played the fool, and how easy a prey he was even to Satan's snares, and how much then unto us if we are unconverted, if we know not the grace of God or the great power of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 17, we find something of the sacred work of the beloved Redeemer. The glorious work of Jesus Christ as He prevents His people, as they walk upon this earth, as He prevents them from being destroyed by Satan. Peter, Peter, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Satan hath desired to have thee that he might sift thee as wheat. Then how great are the dangers that each one of us face in this world. And like we've already said, we most surely must live in it. But friends, that we might not be deceived, that a sound doctrine does not separate you from the worldling. We will come to see that you and I need to have a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to have that precious gift given to us from heaven and the special anointing of the Spirit to guide and direct us. Else all is but darkness. Passions are kindled. Satan sets before us a hidden passion that perhaps no other man knows, and so we go off of the way of the world a hurry. And what does Jesus say? What does Jesus say to us in His Word in Matthew 6? You cannot serve God and mammon, or God and the riches. God will not have you and I, dear friends, with our one foot in the world and one foot in religion. What does James say? James 1:27. Pure religion. What is pure religion? Pure religion and undefiled is to visit the fatherless and the widow, and to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. That's pure religion. It's not attending a sound denomination and attending day after day and service after service. Pure religion is being unspotted. And then you go to the Epistle of John. In 1 John 2, we find that what is really the world that I'm speaking of tonight? I'm not speaking of our lawful occupations and our lawful duties in our day-to-day duties in the home, or it's in our education, or in whatever we may be occupied. I'm not speaking of that. I'm speaking of what John in his epistle says of what is the love of the world. And if we're familiar with the Word of God, then we know what the love of the world, for this is the love of the world. And then John says so emphatically that the love of the world and God are completely and entirely separate. Completely and entirely separate. The love of the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. This is what I'm speaking of tonight. And each of us have this in the old man. We're born with this. One or the other, or all of them. Obsessed with this world and its riches. I could make a confession to you. The lust of the eye, a covetous desire, filled my heart when I was a young man. All I ever wanted was a herd of cows and more cows and more cows and more cows and hopefully more money too. That's all I was consumed. I knew there was a God. I knew that there was a Lord Jesus Christ to save your sinners. But it was all here. That's it. The old ministers say that religion needs to, it's a foot too high. When we have such a religion, it needs to go a foot lower. It needs to enter into the heart, and we need to know that we are a guilty sinner before God, that we indeed love the world with our whole heart. That if the dear Lord does not come in his power, we would consume ourselves day and night seeking the passions of this world. And it may be pride. You may not even desire the possessions of this world, but you may desire, filled with your own heart and your own passions or your own pride of yourself. It's a self-centered religion, dear friends, a self-centered life. And this is not of God. It is entirely separate from God. I said it was in 1 John 5, but it's 1 John 2. In 1 John 2, it speaks of that. In 1 John 2, 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And here we see the exceeding great fall of man. Our depravity is so terrible. Because what does this world give us? What does its pleasures afford us? And what does its riches amount to us? The world passes away, and the lust thereof. Nothing. It will grant us nothing. And I feel, beloved friends, why this is so important and so vital for us. How are we as a denomination? How are we living? Are we living in a consistent walk with God? Has he drawn you young people out of the world? Has he made you see how empty and poor this world is? And the reason that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. These precious truths, are they precious to you? Vital to you? In some sense, I come from the outside. And as I visit and speak to the dear friends of the history of the strict Baptists, you cannot help but wonder. And the cry must go to heaven, O Lord God, what is happening to us? What is happening to us? Are we turning our backs upon God, worshiping Him in a superficial way, but not with our hearts? When we think of the chapels that have been filled and are now empty, and many that turn to loiter, and we would say, and I would believe it in my heart, superficial religions, oh, that they, if it's outside of that free and sovereign grace of Jesus Christ, how dangerous are such religions? Why is it then that it seems as if that we have provoked the Lord? And I don't just say you, I say me. How vital it is then that we might ask the Lord to separate us from this world. If ye then be risen from above, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Jesus Christ sitteth at the right hand of his Father. Or you could think of also from whence we look above to heaven, from whence our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that our looking? Have we been risen in that sense, not taken out of the world, but in the world, living for that knowledge of Christ, and living that we might be like unto Christ? These things are paramount for our souls, vital to know. If we are in the world, I say it to the people at home too. Sometimes we seem to think there's a middle ground. We're not quite of the world. We're not quite with Jesus. We're in the middle. That's not what the Word of God says. We're either living in the world and of the world and guilty of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, or we're of God, separated. You see that all through the Word of God, there's a distinct separating line between the godly and the ungodly. For those who seek the glory of God and the salvation of the soul, for those who've been drawn out of the pleasure of the world and see it nothing more than a place that will destroy their souls, a place that they must live in, and yet they're like the pilgrims. These all desire a better country, a heavenly country, strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Are we strangers and pilgrims? My mind was drawn to that word, old paths. You might already think of it. Ancient landmarks. Remove not the ancient landmarks. In Jeremiah, he speaks of that. And why I bring it in, dear friends, is this reason. You cannot help but look back in old times, of the grandparents, of the great-grandparents, and we see there when the work of God was in rich abundance, and stand back and wonder, where have we gone wrong? Where have we gone wrong? Is it in the old paths? Are we wandering away from the truth? Are we absorbed in the world in this day of prosperity? Consumed in its pleasures? Robbing our minds and taking away every desire to be saved, to be lifted out of this evil, present evil world? Do we see such a preciousness in those old paths? Or are old paths old-fashioned? Old-fashioned. We don't need to do that. That's old-fashioned. Well, they may have dressed like that. That's old-fashioned. We don't need to carry on with that. We don't need to hold the Sabbath day, the Lord's day, in such a strict way. It's old-fashioned. The law has been paid, or the Sabbath has been satisfied by the Lord Jesus Christ. We can live a much less strict way. And I want to stop and say, I'm not promoting legality. What I'm promoting is morality. That's what I'm promoting. The sincere desire to obey the commandments of God and to live in the way in which the Lord would have us live. As a minister, we cannot help but look at these things and wonder, What is it? What is it that we are doing wrong as a denomination, as a group, and then as individuals? Friends, it is absolutely vital. Absolutely vital for us to know these things and to hold them precious to our souls. Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. What a wonderful word. But that's not the end of this verse. You know what it says at the end? But they said, we will not walk therein. And I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. Trumpet upon the walls of Zion, as the watchmen hold not their breath, but cry day and night. And it goes back again into that word Isaiah, what shall we cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is the flower of the field. The Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it, and the grass withers away. Behold, all people is flesh, all people is grass. The watchmen are calling upon, setting the trumpet of alarm and the sounding of the alarm and calling to the people to return. Calling the people to take heed, calling the people to examine their ways. And they say, we will not hearken. Therefore, hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth. Behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts. Because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. A solemn word. And then we look at the withdrawing of the Spirit. The emptying of the chapels in wonder. Do we wonder, beloved friends? Young people. We do not know what the future holds for you nor for me. My time is very short compared to yours. But what shall the future hold for us in this dark day? A day of immorality. Will we stand up for the truth? Will we see the awfulness of the decisions of our nations, yours and mine together? Well, the advocacy of that same-sex marriage and us is transgender, and now we have the indigenous people and they have a double spirit, and all of this is supposed to be embraced, and all we're supposed to be silent about it all. It's an awful, awful day. We look at marriages, the breakup of marriages, and the immorality and the awful practices that are happening day after day. And then you go into the ways of business, and profit is justified in all manner of ways, leaving the ways of God. Then you go into the manner of dress, and you look and you wonder what is happening amongst us. Modesty, chastity, humility. The world, dear friends, is a place that you and I must walk in, but what a dreadful place it is, filled with sin. Utterly filled with sin and wickedness. But has it touched your heart and mind, is the question we would ask tonight. We pray that you are the coming generation. We would say that, Lord, pray that the Lord would make you the pillars of the church. People who may have been able to proclaim to the younger generation again of the goodness and mercy of God. How vital it is then to walk in the ways of the Lord God and His commandments, and to flee all type of immorality and wickedness in which the world is filled. We cannot be part of it. We need the Lord to visit us by the power of His word and the sending of His Spirit. To lift our eyes up to heaven and to cry for mercy. Dear friends, when, like I was saying to you, we are touched with the reality of our worldliness, It is then the cry goes up unto Jesus for his intervening mercy. When we feel when the temptations are too strong for us and we see the reality of what lies in the heart, how it is that we need him who descended from heaven to enable us to leave the world, to hate to hate all that was formerly glamorous. How we need what we read this evening, Alan. That glorious mediator, Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus said that. I pray not that they're taken out of the world. For then we must obviously die. Not that you and I are taken out of the world. But that we are kept from the evil one, Satan, and from all the evil that is in the world. We need his prayers. Do you need his prayers? As young people? Can we say, dear friends, that we have a closet, a shed, a little place in the woods, a little secret place that where our cry goes unto heaven, Lord, that thy prayers might affect my soul and guide me in this life? I pray not for the world. Are we in the world? That's what Jesus said to his Father. I pray not for the world, but for them whom thou gavest me. Do we know the Lord as our Savior? How solemn a thought to think then that blessed mediator, perhaps he does not pray for me. This would cause such deep anxiety in your young souls. We don't know who the Lord's people are, who his children are. It has been kept wisely hidden from us. That such texts like these may bring deep anxiety into the unconverted. Those of you who even today must feel some sting of guilt in your consciences that your hearts have not been touched, which automatically means that we are yet in this world, consumed in it, under its banner. How can we live without the prayers of this glorious mediator? Ask a child of God what wonders there are in the soul. Does he know something of his tender prayers and his compassion to them? And his precious love that has visited their souls. And that is why they alone could turn their backs upon the world. Nothing else would do it. You and I need that faith in Jesus Christ. 1 John 5 says this. And this is the victory by which they overcame the world, even their faith. And I think it's at the end of John 14, it says this. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So that faith in Jesus Christ is what overcomes the passions of the world and the sins of this world. That's why, beloved friends, it is so vital for us to know something of that blessed Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the joy and rejoicing of those people who can testify of the Lord's power drawing out of the world, out of its pleasures, out of its lusts, out of its power, living in the world. 1 Corinthians 7, I think it's the 31st verse, says, as being in the world and using the world, but not abusing the world. We must of necessity remain in this world and perform our daily occupations, our duties day by day. But the world must lose its power to us. Our obsession with it. Exerting all our effort and all our time in it. We pray, friends, as we gather just but a very short time together, that the Lord may be pleased at his own appointed time to draw each one of you out of the world and show you what how empty it is. It is certain none of you, including myself, can take one thing of this world with us in a coffin. And if we could, what good would it do us? Nothing. Why is it then we're so consumed in it? These are very serious thoughts, beloved friends. And oh, I wish at times that we could bring in perhaps a more delightful message. But I'm afraid it would sting my conscience in that sense if I was not faithful to warn and to exhort and to plead with you tonight over your precious souls. The value of this world is what Satan sets before our eyes as glamorous. And Peter tells us what is truly glamorous. You're not redeemed with corruptible things as gold and silver, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. If we would spend our time on something worthwhile, it would be pleading the mercy and merits of Jesus Christ. Let the world go. And all its emptiness, beg and plead the Lord by his power to draw you out of it and show you a much more precious way. And much more exceeding riches, that is, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. God alone can do it. I remember my own life. I could still see it. I was in southern Alberta. I was on a hunting trip. I was sitting there in the afternoon in a hotel. We were waiting for the evening hunt, and a man came in, a friend of ours that lived there, to tell us that one of my acquaintances back home had died instantly in a tragic industrial accident. God had spoken and taken his life. It was as if the Lord had driven an arrow of conviction into my heart that very moment. Thou fool, thou must die and approach this God. And what then? All this far? It's like that rich young farmer, thou fool, this night thy soul will be required of thee, and who shall all these things be? What shall it profit a man though he gain the whole world and lose his soul? And that's what we say tonight again. As a minister, we can see there's nothing more precious and nothing more rich than your and my soul. And a knowledge of Jesus Christ, our beloved Savior, to lift us up out of it. To make us see the preciousness and beauty of it. That is, that life in Christ, how far exceeding beautiful it is over the riches of this world. What are we busy with to this very moment? Ask yourselves that question when you go home. Are we being drawn? Do we feel that power of God that has touched the heart and convicted in some measure of the emptiness and poverty of this world? Has it pleased the Lord even at this very moment to show you, oh, that you long to be lifted out of it? It's empty and poor and perishing. There's a world, the kingdom of God, so much more worthy to be sought after than what you have sought all your lives. What emptiness, what poverty we have. You know, friends, when this is another thing I believe in my heart. You look at the Laodicean church. That is the church state that we live in today. Thou art rich, and thou possessest all things, that thou knowest not that thou art poor and blind and miserable and naked. When all the generations past of history and of time There was poverty and troubles that abounded. Today we live in prosperity, wealth, ease, and security. And all that prosperity, wealth, ease, and security does to our body is to make it, to lull it into sleep and to forget that there's one thing needful. What did God say? What did God say through John there in Revelation 3 to the Laodicean church? I will spew thee out of my mouth. And it brings me to another thought. We look back and we're all guilty in some measure of this. We take confidence in our forefathers, England, in England especially, and the great blessings that the Lord has bestowed upon this land, and the Reformation, and the notable reformers that have come from England, and the wonderful ministers that have come out of this land. And we seem in some measure to think that because of all this in the past, that surely God will not leave us. Is that what we think in some measure? Well, then let me ask you a question. Where are the churches, the seven churches of Asia Minor today, who walked in the truth? Where are they? They're all gone. The Spirit has been pleased to remove his presence and establish a church in another area because he left the old paths, the old ways, and the old truths. I was thinking of Word in Revelation 2, Verse 5. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. This is to the angel of the church at Ephesus. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear with them that are evil. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. The Lord will not have us, like I've already said, 1 foot serving mammon and 1 foot serving God. And tonight, the message, ever so solemn that it may be, and yet, dear friends, we may bring a message of hope in a sense as well. And that we find in the book of Hosea, written by the prophet Hosea there to the 10 northern tribes of Israel. It is the message of repentance. And it is the message of returning unto the Lord God. Well, there is still breath in our nostrils and life. We may yet seek the Lord and bow before his countenance and beg of his mercy and his loving kindness. Excuse me. How we do need his sacred presence, dear friends. But he will have us to return. Not while we are whoring after the world. Not after we've got our business plans finished. Or our fortunes procured. Now. Like we are saying to the young children, remember now thy Creator, the days of thy youth. And we would say tonight again, remember now the Most High God, the tender mercies of that Most High God. In Hosea 5, we read in the 15th verse, we read, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. Here I find it's a most solemn message. Scarce there is a time where we will return and seek the Lord until we are afflicted in some way in that in the infinite wisdom of God, how he is pleased to deal with us. In some way, the Lord will afflict us. In their affliction, they will seek me early. And then we have that precious word in the sixth chapter, come, and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He is smitten, he will bind us up. It's a message again tonight, dear young people, of the mercy of God, of the tender mercies of God, and of his rich favor unto those who may return to him with the urgency of the soul and the confessions of the soul that we, though guilty, God is good and God is merciful. In the 14th chapter, we have as if we would say tonight in the same way, as Hosea said to Israel, he said, O Israel, beseeching them of the necessity of it, of the importance of it, and that real spiritual life is nothing without it. He says, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord and say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips, the fruit of our lips, the song of praise upon us. God has indeed been graceful, great. God has indeed been gracious unto us. May the Lord give you tonight, dear friends, as we gather together, that examination of the heart. Whether we are following the world tonight or we are following the gospel of Jesus Christ and the person of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, it says, Paul says this, he exhorts the Corinthians, be ye followers of me, as I also am of Christ. And what did Jesus Christ say to his disciples in that portion of Scripture, John 14, 15, 16? He says, behold, the prince of this world cometh. The prince of this world, the prince of the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes, he's coming. He hath nothing in me. Nothing. Are we then followers, friends of this Jesus Christ and of Paul? In Jesus Christ? Or the prince of this world? So it comes back again to that question we bring almost in every single sermon. What do we think of Christ? The Savior of sinners. The cleanser of sinners. And the forgiver of the reckless and the foolish. And those sunk in sin in this world. What value do you even tonight place upon Jesus and salvation? And what need you have of Christ to enable you to leave this hateful world, this sinful world behind? To a Christian traveler, a true Christian traveler, we sung it, guide us through this wilderness land, this wilderness journey, this place of pitfalls and of snares and of temptations and trials, this place of deep sorrows and spiritual anguish, this place in which the tears flow so often, a place of bitter anguish and a great distress of soul, and so often trials of the body as well. We pray that the Lord might bring you there in that place where this becomes a wilderness, not a world of pleasure and a world of joy, and a world of comfort and ease, but a world where the Lord is pleased to touch your hearts and make the eye go to heaven unto the Lord Jesus Christ, who resides there in heaven, reigns and rules as the precious authoritative King. An ever compassionate high priest, touched with the feeling of our infirmities, as he hears the groans and anxieties of a people who truly begin to see the emptiness of what this world really is, and their utter baseness and foolishness for having spent so many years in this world seeking its pleasures. But now, how profoundly different. Lord Jesus, undertake for me such a cry. Oh, dear friends, we pray that the Lord may be gracious to you and bring you upon such a pathway. We pray that you might know something what it is to be enabled to to leave this world behind, and what it is to look back again unto those old pathways, those old ways in which the truth was spoken and lived, in which the Lord was pleased to bless that people, that He might return unto us. Who knows? But the Lord may touch your hearts and mine and our dear friends at home and throughout this land, throughout our denomination, amongst the numerous places where the people worship, that we might be assembled in prayer and in great need and necessity, confessing our sins and our emptiness. You know, friends, that's one of those vital things we need to be exercised with, our sinfulness, our deep need of the Lord to attend the Word, to bless us with His presence and to forgive us our many trespasses, and to give us that precious faith in His love, to walk that crucifying path upon earth, trusting in Him. And here we would say something again. Our Jesus is so full of loving kindness and compassion. That's why He said there be of good cheer. The world shall be full of troubles and trials. But fear not. I've overcome them all. Did we not read that, friends, in 462? What Jesus is into all that stands between us, that greatest and last enemy of death. Thinking of these words, death of deaths and hell's destruction, lead me safe on Canaan's side. This world is a place where the only thing that will give you at the end of your life is death. And after death, perdition. Jehovah Jesus is the destruction of death, death of death and hell's destruction. A worthy one to be sought after. Remember this, if the Lord would bless you, enable you, the world will hate you. Here's another question. Does the world hate you? Be honest. Does the world hate you for your profession? Or can you gather amongst the worldlings and amongst all the ungodly who openly profess their ungodliness, who have no sign of any desire? Can you walk amongst such a people and they are one with you? You can talk and converse with them. There's no difference. They see no difference in you. Or do they hate you? What did Jesus say of a people who were drawn out of the world and come to worship at His marvelous feet, who rejoiced in Christ their Savior, who were lifted up out of this world? What did He say of them? You shall be hated. If the world does not hate us or despise us for our beliefs, it shows us that we are one with them. We're one with them. We pray that the Lord may give us that faith and love of Christ to endure the hatred and contempt of mankind, all manner of mankind, to speak up against the horrendous crimes and sins of our nations, and walk the paths of holiness and righteousness, lifted up out of this world, seeking that world to come, that heavenly country, in that communion with Christ. And then, friends, then we are rich. And may the Lord, we pray fervently from the bottom of my heart, that the Lord may return unto us in such a rich way. There's a precious word we will end with that in Isaiah 55. Oh, that blessed one where we are thus exhorted to come to the waters. Come to the waters of Jesus Christ. Those thirsty, hungering souls who do not long anymore. They thirst not for profit, not for pleasure, not for ease, not for titles. No, they thirst for the living waters, for the wine and the bread, for the blood and body of Jesus Christ. And there Isaiah says, why are you spending money for that which is not true bread, and which does not satisfy the heart, and which does not give peace to the soul? Hearken unto me, hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me here, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. But I was thinking of this word especially. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. How exceedingly high this God, our God, is, beloved friends. And we pray that the Lord would give you faith, much faith, to come unto him, to leave this dreadful, sinful world behind, and give you a pure and undefiled religion, which is to walk in the paths of love. Oh, the desire, and here again, friends, perhaps in some sense we are so exceedingly failing here. The love of our neighbor, to love the poor and the needy, to give bread to the hungry and the clothes to those that are naked. Oh, how the Lord stresses over and over in the Word of God that we are to expend ourselves in helping the poor and needy. And have we again failed here? Do we fail in exhibiting that example of loving kindness and tender compassion to mankind? The world has only time for itself. What a mercy the Lord would bless us that we have, may only have time for others, and that we might exhibit that love of Christ who had such tender compassion that he came down to this world to draw a people who were filled with the world, who were sunk in sin in the world, who were held under captivity by Satan, the prince of the world, but who were able to come to Christ, to lay their entire burden before him. And though we may be so weak and so worldly, Jesus, friends, and Jesus alone is able to redeem you, able to deliver you, and release you from that hold, that grip that Satan has on you. And we pray that the Lord may bless us, you young people, with this exceeding rich gift, that is, drawn out of the world into the marvelous feet of Jesus Christ to worship him and him only. Amen. Sing from hymn number 955. Thank you. Now, most gracious eternal Lord, all we would commit unto thy throne of grace these beloved young friends and their precious souls and their life that they live upon this earth. And we pray, Lord God, that thou might bless them indeed, that they may be drawn up unto thee in their need, that they may know thee, Jesus Christ, as their Savior, and that thou might enrich them with that living faith and that precious gospel love, and their hearts may be melted and constrained to walk the gospel way. Lord, that thou would plant that fruit of regeneration within each one of them, cause that it might prosper and grow, that they may be enabled to grow up and to praise thy matchless mercy and thy loving kindness to them, the chief of sinners. Hear us, Lord, and answer us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.